So thankful to be here tonight with you and with the Lord. So thankful that He chooses to be with us. It's hard to have a favorite name of God because, as we know very well in this house, He has over 700 plus, but plus is really means more than. But one of my favorite names to remember all the time, but really around Christmas, is Emmanuel. Because it's God with us. And for parents in the house and children in the house, so that's all of us, we're all a child. You many times know, like with your children, in the end they just want you with them, at least at most ages. There are some ages that they don't want you with them, but we won't go there. We're talking about Emmanuel, so. But at least at age 3 and 4, and for Juliana, she just wants me with her. And if I'm away, she wants me there. If she's excited and jumping on the trampoline, she wants me with her. If she has a boo-boo and she's sad, she wants me with her. And her mom, obviously, and her brothers and all her friends. But, you know, the cure for humanity was not God sending an equation to fix their problem. It wasn't giving a manual of rules to follow, although some think that with the Ten Commandments and the Bible, and they obviously, you know, they didn't have the Bible in its form that we have then. But the cure for humanity was God with us. So in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Right? Throughout history, from that time after the fall and the separation, there was times when God would be with people and Holy Spirit would come upon people and there'd be this miraculous showing up of angels and God in places. And the whole Hebrew culture was, as you know, you remember from even Lawrence sharing this last Sunday, was centered around the presence of God. Their entire tabernacle was built around God with us. And when Jesus came, it was Emmanuel, God with us. And just like for us, we're those 3 and 4 year olds, and we just want God to be with us, whether we're going through boo-boos, right? Whether we're going through hard times, or whether we're, you know, excited and on the mountaintop or in the valley or everywhere between. The cure is not an equation, a rule book, or a solution, but it's God's presence. And that's why Jesus paid such a high price, because then God with us could be God in us, which means God is with us all the time. And then the end of eternity is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and eternity, God with us, right? So I just love remembering at this season that name, Emmanuel. And as we worship, God promises that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in His name, then He is there in the midst of them. It's a forever alignment with His name, Emmanuel. And when God is with us, then all the other names are activated in our lives. And so, as we worship tonight, let's remember, as we're singing to Him, that He's with us, He's here with us, and He wants to be close to us no matter where we're at in our desire to be close with Him, where we're at in our sense of worthy, unworthy, all of those things, that He wants to be with us, He's chosen to be with us, He's paid the highest price to be with us. So just stand tonight, and Father, we just bless Your name. We bless You, Emmanuel, We bless you that you have paid the highest price to be with us, to live in us, so that you are with us in this age of grace. You've paid the highest price so that you will be married to us and be with us for eternity, and us with you. Thank you that we remember that name given from heaven to humanity at this time, in this season, Emmanuel, God with us. He's here. We've been waiting, and he's here. And then through the church age, the whole Holy Spirit living inside of us. He's here. He's with us. The Jesus coming back, Maranatha, the second coming, he's here. He's come back for us in all of eternity, us with him and he with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. It's as we worship and praise and sing tonight, God, that we're not singing to you disconnected and far off, but we're singing to you connected and close. We praise you, we honor you, we worship you. Be magnified, be glorified. Yes, Lord. All right.
Song of all songs is the song we sing. The sound of all sounds, heaven's symphony. Songs of love to you from us all. Songs of praise, you're the one we adore. Sing out loud as heaven hears us and comes down in this day that we live. We'll show our love with such awesome praise. You are great and greatly to be praised in all the earth, in all the earth. You are strong and powerful in all the world, in all the heavens. You are God, so wonderful, and all of heaven loves your name. And you are great and greatly to be praised. And the song of all songs is a song we sing. And the sound of all sounds, heaven's symphony. From us all, songs of praise, you're the one we adore. We want to sing out loud as heaven hears us and comes down in this day that we live. We'll show our love with such awesome praise, 'cause you are great and greatly in all the earth, in all the earth. You are strong, you're powerful in all the world, in all the heaven. You are God, you're so wonderful in all of heaven. Loves your name, and you are great and greatly to be praised. You are great, and you are great. almighty. You are holy, you are awesome. In your power you have risen. You have conquered, you have beaten the power of death. You are mighty, you are holy, you are awesome. In your power have beaten the power of death. Come on, we sing hallelujah. We will rejoice. Hallelujah. We will rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will rejoice.
God with us, God for us, none.
can come against. No one can stand between us. God with us, God for us. Nothing can come against. No one can stand between us. In grace and mercy, there is nowhere we can hide from your love. You are steadfast, never failing. You are faithful. All creation is in awe.
Come again.
I was afraid, you were with me, and you're lifting me up, you're lifting me up, and where there was death, you brought life, Lord. Oh, where there was fear, you brought courage. When I was afraid, you were with me. And you're lifting me up. You're lifting me up. Where there was death, and where there was death, you brought life, Lord. Where there was fear, where there was fear, you brought courage. And when I was afraid, you were with me. And you're lifting me up. You're lifting me up. There was death, you're bringing life, Lord. Oh, where there's fear, where there is fear, you're bringing courage. Oh, when I am afraid, you are with me. And you're lifting me up. And where there is death, you bring life, Lord. And where there is fear, your perfect love brings courage. When I am afraid, you're still with me. You're lifting me up. 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 For those that wait upon the Lord will renew the strength. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew the strength. Will mount up with wings like eagles. Yes, we'll mount up with wings like eagles. Up mine. Oh, lay down all your strategy. seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Draw me closely to His side. With love and strength. Jesus Christ, I think upon
upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. And many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. The cross, my my Lord, my King, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Jesus, thank you for the cross.
In all things, you would have preeminence. All my life for your glory. Father, we just thank you so much for this night. We thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your body that was sacrificed. Lord, there's no words for that. There was a time that we were each lost. We were separated. We were far from you. I was your enemy at one point. I was going the complete opposite direction. I was in darkness. I didn't know where I was going. I was a wanderer. I was a runaway in my heart. And at times in the physical. Because I didn't know truth. I didn't know the one who really loved me. I didn't know the one who was pursuing my heart the entire time. Even before I was a thought. Oh Lord. Oh Lord Jesus. What grace, what mercy you lavish on us. You pour out on us. The mercy that's so tangible, that pursues, that chases us down, that fights for us, that didn't give up on us when we gave up on ourselves. Or we thought that we could build our own empire, our own kingdom, as Pastor Bill talks about. But it didn't work. Or we thought we could build a house on sand, it would just fall apart. Or we thought that we could lean in on wisdom that's not from you. But Lord, we tonight, recognize once again your incredible mercy, your incredible love that's beyond comprehension. Thank you, Lord, that you're the living word. You're the living word. Jesus, you are the word. You are truth. And we just come before you and we just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for just undeserved mercy. Oh God. When we stand in this place and we think about eternity, eternity. I was watching a video by Francis Chan, and some of you may have seen this about this. He had this rope, and this little tiny, tiny part of this rope represented our short little life on earth. Which is, in God's eyes, he values it, of course. But it's this little tiny part against the backdrop of this long eternity. And just, I believe he just wants to renew that eternal perspective, that eternity is, it's all around us. It's right in front of us. It's, when we think about the people in our lives, when we think about people who don't know the Lord, that their eternity is at stake. And it's a serious thing because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that the Lord is with us. As Josh was singing, he is with us and he protects us. We lean on Psalm 91, but we need to have that eternal perspective. I had a chance to visit a family member who's really sick this weekend, and wasn't 100% sure where he was spiritually with the Lord. You know, thought maybe he might, but not sure. This person is up there in years and had a really rough accident recently. He's had a lot of challenges, but came pretty close to death. And so the Lord opened up a really awesome opportunity this weekend for us to go down, Jamie and I and the kids, and there was a window of time that was there for me to actually speak with him and just see where he's at. I said, can I ask you a question? Do you know Jesus? Have you fully given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he had a little hard time communicating, but he did nod his head. But, you know, I had a chance to share a little bit more with him about the gospel and who Jesus is. And after I shared, I mean, he was pretty much in tears. I said, do you want to fully receive Jesus? Do you want to give him your life fully? And he nodded his head. He was on board with that. And so I prayed with him a simple prayer, and he prayed with me. And afterwards, I mean, he fully received Jesus. You know, whether he got born again or he rededicated his life, he's in the kingdom. So, yes, Lord. So, and then afterwards I asked him, how do you feel? He said, I feel better. So, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit just is constantly challenging me to open my eyes around and just look around, that we have to have eyes to see, that we can't get so caught up in our lives that there's literally people on the way to hell. There's people that don't know Jesus. When you think about the price that Jesus paid, we all know that. We talk about it and we sing about it. It's awesome. And we believe it. We all believe that in here. It's not like we don't. But there's a deepening, I think, that God wants to do in our hearts, that but during this Christmas season, you know, Josh was thinking about, talking about Emmanuel, God's with us. He's with us. He's with us, that we can be empowered. We can feel the freedom to just talk to people, to just step out and say, no, I'm going to talk to that person. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to see where they are spiritually. I don't know. I can't just assume, right, that they know Jesus. They might not. But if Jesus could pay that high of a price, then, and that power is available to us and it's in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, then what are we waiting for? You know, let's walk in it. Let's go after that. I just want to read, I believe this will tie in, but in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to skip down to verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I'm just going to say that again. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then in verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Again, as we were singing, all is for your glory. Then when we are living out the message of the cross, preaching Christ Jesus crucified, we are giving glory to him. I mean, that's what we're created for. We're created to worship. We're created to give glory, and that is an act of worship when we're sharing the message of the cross, because there's power in it. We don't have to be afraid of, oh my gosh, what's that person going to say? It's the power of Christ. It's the message of the cross, the power of the gospel that's going to touch that person, that's going to save that person. We can't be afraid. We have to let the power come out of us that Christ has put in us and see it manifest, see it demonstrated. You know, there's a number of people that God just, you know, puts on my heart or has put on my heart. And it's just like, you know, it's important that we also intercede and pray. I mean, think of that coupled together, intercession with evangelism. You couple that together in worship. I mean, the power that comes out, that we're children of God. We don't have to be shy. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be like, oh, well, I'll do that later. You know, it's just not really. We have to let the importance of it be who we are. Like, let that just, you know, the DNA of Christ is in us. I was watching a video recently about our DNA and DNA strands and how, like, they're doing, like, basically looking at the code of DNA. And it basically, without going into all the details, God is in our DNA. You know, the Bible talks about all are without excuse. So people have some knowledge of God. There's no excuse, you know. But we get to be those people who are right there and just offer and share and release the good news. Like when Jamie was preaching about the angel Gabriel coming, sharing the good news, you know, that it's good news. It's good news. You know, it's hope. I mean, think of there's people that just are living constantly day after day. I hear it all the time, I feel like. Just people that are depressed, they're fearful, they're sick, and they just have no answers. Their kids are sick. They have nowhere to turn. They are just struggling in life. And we get to be the answer to that, right? We get to actually offer the hope. Like, I know you're dealing with this, but let me tell you about someone who loves you, who cares about you, who wants to change your life. And God will give you the words. So, again, as we continue on with the Christmas season, New Year's, we're heading into 2024. It's going to be a powerful year. I really feel it. It's going to be a great year. It's just going to be amazing things that God's going to release. I'm sure we'll hear more in the coming weeks. But ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want to do this coming year? What do you want to do the rest of this year? There's still, what, three weeks left? 2.5 weeks left? What do you want to do? That's a lot of time. 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, that's a lot of time. Ask the Lord, what do you want to do? What can be done? I mean, God can change things in a moment. He can, in a moment, in a day. I mean, do we believe that? I mean, sometimes when you're in the battle, when you're interceding, you're praying, you're standing, and it's hard, and it's painful, and it feels like it doesn't end, and this situation won't change, but you keep going, and you don't give up, and you keep pressing in, God's going to honor that. He's going to see that faith. He's going to see that desire. He's, especially when we tap into that desire, because faith and desire really go hand in hand. God really wants, like, do you really want it? Do you want to see things change? I remember Michelle was talking about not getting jaded, you know? Like, when we're in the process, it can be easy to be like, oh, it's just never going to happen. It's never going to change. But we can't get jaded. We can't get, like, thrown off or discouraged, right? Like, discouragement is not from Jesus. We need to be encouraged. We need to be filled up with the fire of God. Come on. And we need to go out and do the works of Jesus. We can do it. Again, I know I'm preaching the choir in here, but it's a good reminder to all of us, myself included. But just be encouraged that there's a lot of time left this year, 2023. And then as we head into 2024, just keep asking the Lord, dream with the Lord. Ask, Lord, what's on your heart? What do you want to do? What do you want to do today? What do you want to do this very hour? What do you want to do in the store? What do you want to do at work? What do you want to do when I'm with my family this holiday season? I'm sitting around the table or you're cooking dinner. What do you want to do right now? I want to take advantage of the time that I have. I could just be sitting here cooking and not say anything, which is fine. I'm not saying it's wrong. That's wrong. Obviously, your times are quiet. But what if there's a person right here that's waiting, that they're not going to tell you, like, hey, I'm waiting for you to tell me something. They could, but they might not. You have to assess what's going on spiritually and just say, there's a person standing right there. You know, I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. How about, Mike, why don't you open your mouth and say something to the person that's right there? But there might be an opportunity tomorrow. Yeah, there could, but what if there's not, right? Again, it's not to be self-condemning or anything or to get introspective about it, but just let's take every opportunity we can these next couple weeks and this next year. Lord, change me. I wanna go further. I wanna have eyes to see the need, to see the people around me. And God's gonna do it. He's gonna do it. You're gonna be amazed. I was amazed this weekend, to be honest with you. I was just blown away by this opportunity that God opened up with, because I was just like, God, how's this gonna work? I mean, I'm not physically there. I'm 2 hours away. You know, the person's in a medical facility. How am I gonna get there? What's it like? There's all these questions. And you could easily just chalk the questions up to, well, it's impossible. It's not gonna happen. But again, who specializes in the impossible, right? God does. So take those questions, take the reasons, take all of that, submit it before the Lord and say, yes, this is true, but God, what's the solution? What do you want to do for this person? What do you want to do in this situation? And yes, and when it feels painful and you feel like Lawrence was talking about on Sunday, when you feel like you're falling apart, you feel like it's, oh, I can't. We can, like he was talking about on Sunday, just really spoke home to me, but like we can encounter God in those times where we're just, you know, we can't give out what we don't have. So when we feel that way, we can say, God, fill me up, strengthen me so that I can give out the message of the cross, because that's what he wants. I don't want to be so stuck in circumstances that I never go forward or people don't get spoken to, because the words, you know, they're not going to hear it if nobody goes and preaches to them, right? So there has to be people in here that are going to do that. So I'm just going to pray this out. And as we prepare to take the elements, let's just ask the Lord to speak to us right now individually. And that includes the children in here, adults, every person online watching. And if there's anyone watching around who's, or here, I'm sure everybody in here knows the Lord, but anyone online who's watching, that if you don't know Jesus, this is the night for you. This is the night to fully surrender to Jesus. Earlier, I saw a picture during worship of God's hand reaching into my heart and grabbing my heart and directing my heart, that he wants to take hold of our hearts and direct us by our hearts. And when our hearts are his, oh my goodness, he can do so much through us, because he has our hearts. I'm saying, and our prayer is, God, take my heart, have my heart, do what you want with my life. Take me where you want to lead me. I'll go where you want me to go. And your heart is being led. You can't help it, because love is being poured out of you. I mean, when Jesus was dying, when he was being crucified, and he's about to die, he's about to give his last breath and say it is finished, love just kept pouring out of him. It just kept pouring out. It didn't stop. Just the love that, even when he died, the love just exuded. It just poured out on the Roman soldiers, on some of the Pharisees, on people around. The love, it just kept coming. It didn't stop. And his love just wants to pour out of us. He wants to pour his love in us and out of us. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you. God, we surrender tonight as we worship, as we praise you, that it's not about us, it's about you. It's all about you. Oh God, lead us, guide us. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Once again, we look upon the cross. Once again, we fully immerse ourselves in the knowledge of you. Not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, a life knowledge. We say, thank you, Jesus. We worship you and we honor you. We honor you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruler of the nations, Jehovah, God Almighty, the great I am, the deliverer, the Son of God, Emmanuel, as Josh said, wonderful counselor, everlasting King, Prince of Peace. As we just speak the names of God daily in our lives, oh my goodness, it's going to change us. It's good to know the names. We need to declare the names of God. Declare the names of God. Speak it over the situations. Speak it over the people. God, you are Jehovah Jireh for this person. You are Jehovah Rapha for this person that needs a healing. And those that need, if anyone needs healing, if anyone is sick tonight, or online, Lord Jesus, I'm asking that you would release your healing over them, that all sickness would go in the name of Jesus. It cannot stay. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Every person that we can think of, come, Holy Spirit, with your healing power, with your healing power, with your mighty power. Yes, Lord, we just, as we take the elements, as we take the bread and we take the juice, oh God, we're in awe of you. We say thank you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
As Mike was sharing in communion, the Lord just put a few things on my heart. Gonna just share and see what he does and where he wants to go with it. But many of times the and what Lauren shared on Sunday may be sort of stirring in some people's hearts this week. Maybe that is why this was on my heart, as Mike was sharing, but sometimes a couple big hindrances to us coming to the Lord and receiving the impossible from him is because of sorrow and disappointment. And it sort of doesn't make sense. How would a person, a little human, come to a God who can do the impossible and leave away disappointed in God or sorrowful? And the Lord reminded me of the account of the rich young ruler So I just want to read this real quick. It says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" So we get this idea that the rich young ruler was coming to Jesus with a, we would say in our modern times, some preconceived notions, right? He had his own idea about what this all meant and who Jesus was. And he was really hopeful that when he got to Jesus, that Jesus would validate his preconceived ideas. And then he would feel really good and walk away even more encouraged and empowered. And so Jesus, right from the get-go, sort of throws up some flares for him that even the language that he uses, maybe you're not fitting in the paradigm that I have of the kingdom and who I am. So just the first words out of his mouth is, "Good teacher," and Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." So on one hand, he throws out this red flare that your preconceived ideas of who I am and what this is all about, I'm going to push you off those a little bit. And then at the same time, he brings them back to the commandments that he's familiar with. So he's talking within his box that he understands. And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." So that is not what the rich young ruler was hoping to hear or expecting to hear. And he probably didn't think that a good teacher would say those kind of words to him. And so he actually left Jesus sorrowful, it says. When he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And the Lord just started showing me, as Mike was talking to share, you know, sometimes we have whatever shape that you want to use the old example or adage, you know, it's like putting a square peg through a round hole or a round peg through a square hole. We have this shape that we're wanting so bad to fit in. We have an idea in our mind about our lives or about the kingdom or about something, God and his character and different things, and we're wanting so bad for it to be like that, and so we're pounding that shape and it's just never going to fit. And so we feel like we come to God and we're disappointed because the square doesn't fit in the round hole, or the round object doesn't fit in the square hole. But it was never designed to by God, and instead he wants to mold that shape for it to fit exactly, so that instead of pounding and it never working and coming away disappointed and sorrowful, it actually fits through and is exactly how it was designed to be, custom shaped. And as the scripture goes on, and when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" But he said, "Things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So, in that place where we're contending for impossibility, and we feel that we've been disappointed or had sorrow, we need to come back to the character that God is good, and his way is the best way. And let's look at our lives before him and say, "You know, maybe I'm coming to you, Lord, in my perception, in my requests, in my life with preconceived notions the same way the rich young ruler was. And I'm coming to you and asking in a certain way, expecting that you're going to do it that way. And I'm pounding my square object in the round hole, and I'm leaving disappointed and sorrowful, but in reality, it's not because you've let me down, but it's because I need a change of heart and change of mind, just like the rich young ruler did. And as you've heard Pastor Bill and others share, it's very likely that when the rich young ruler noticed where his heart was in all of this, because that's what God was after, was his heart, that he would have given it all back to him to be used for the kingdom and for God's glory. And so if there's any areas in our lives where we're disappointed or sorrowful when we've come to God, it's not because God's not faithful, and it's not because God's not wise, and God's not good, and God's not right. So let us be a shape that can be molded to fit in the hole that God has, rather than coming to him and telling him, this needs to go in, this needs to work. It'll work, son. It'll work, daughter. When your heart is able to be molded into that shape that I want it to be, and it'll fit just perfect. So, Lord, we just thank you tonight that you're good, you're faithful, you're wise, you're kind, you're full of grace and full of mercy. You're powerful. You can do the impossible. Just the mention of your name is miraculous. Emmanuel, God with us, is a name that represents a miracle that occurred. For Jesus Christ to be dwelt inside of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just the mention of your name is representative of the miraculous God that you are. With God, all things are possible. And so, Lord, if there's anybody, Lord, that needs to, and any of us, Lord, that need to lay down our disappointments, to lay down our sorrow, where we've come to you and left sorrowful like the rich young ruler, thinking that, wow, that's not what I expected to hear. That doesn't seem like it'll work. I've worked for all of this for a really long time. What? You're not validating my hard work, my effort, my diligence, my loyalty. But inside he knew I needed something more. That's why I went. And the very something more that he sought was being offered, but he didn't grab a hold of it because of his preconceived notions. Holy Spirit, help us. Sometimes you offer us the very thing to satisfy our heart, the very wisdom from heaven that is the solution. You are the solution. But we don't grab a hold of it because of our preconceived notions. Help us, Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Holy Spirit.
Nothing to give that didn't first come from your hands. We have nothing to offer you which you did not provide. Every good, perfect gift comes from your kind and gracious heart. And all we do is give back to you what always has been yours. Lord, we're breathing the breath that you gave us to breathe, to worship you, to worship you. And we're singing these songs with the very same breath, to worship you, to worship you. We have nothing to give that didn't first come from your hands. We have nothing to offer you which you did not provide. Every good, perfect gift come from the kind and gracious heart. And all we do is give back to you what always has been yours. Lord, we're breathing the breath that you gave us to breathe, to worship you, to worship you. And we're singing these songs with the very same breath, to worship you, to worship you. Who has given to you that it should be paid back to him? Has given to you as if you needed anything. From you into you and through you come all things, O Lord. And all we do is give back to you what always has been yours. Lord, we're breathing the breath that you gave us to breathe, to worship you, to worship you. And we're singing these songs with the very same breath, to worship you, to worship you. Has given to you that it should be paid back to him. Who has given to you as if you needed anything. From you into you and through you come all things, O Lord. And all we do is give back to you what always has been yours. Lord, we're breathing the breath that you gave us to breathe, to worship you, to worship you. And we're singing these songs with the very same breath, to worship you, Much more worthy than I've known. I cannot imagine just how glorious you are. I cannot begin to tell how deep a love you bring. Lord, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen.
Forever.
of your highest praise. You're worthy. We sing an anthem of your highest. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy.
just worship you tonight, Lord. We just thank you. That you are Lord seated on high. Worthy of it all.